come and day alive like I do every night from the heart of your radio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. Here's open everybody out in radio land.
Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this. What's led to this Wednesday morning? Programming note, I failed to do this in the last segment, but we'll have April Marie Fogel, 1819 News, and Tommy Tuberville, our senior U.S. Senator, on the program tomorrow. So make sure you you tune in for that. But here with us now, he's the last guest of this show. You will be the last guest of my live appearances here. This session, which I've been here every week, on every Wednesday and done a show, but, State Representative Rex Reynolds, Chairman of the House General Fund, is with us. We appreciate you coming by, Representative.
Absolutely. Good morning. Yeah. Day 29 is upon us.
Yeah. Well, and I know you're ready for it to wind down. We'll start kind of backwards where I've been talking with the other guest. How you feel about this session and the way it's sort of gone? You know, I personally, it's not too terribly remarkable. It just hasn't been bad, but it's the third year of a quadrennium. Next year, probably not as far-reaching. But how did it come out on your end?
Well, certainly, I'm proud of Speaker Ledbetter and his direction and leadership he's given. You know, being a budget chairman, I sit at the table every Tuesday morning on the leadership table, and we go through the calendar and we set our structure and our game plan for the week, and we stick to it. And I think the number of bills that we have passed is a positive reflection of that. So certainly appreciate him. For me personally, I felt like I started with the general fund this time. I felt like that process went very well. Stayed in touch with Senator Albritton once the bill was transmitted upstairs, and this body was able to concur. And he concurred on my budget, if you recall, or his right. budget last year. So certainly we wanted to be in a position to do that. And then, quite frankly, with a lot of the issues that's going on in the Senate up there, certainly did not want to be in a position to go to conference committee because, you know, that's when you never know what comes up in there, right, depending on who sits in those chairs.
It's a wild card.
It is. So certainly glad on how the House has run this year.
Now, like, I know you from your law enforcement days when you were in Huntsville, but in this role, here we are a few years into it, as budget chairman, general fund budget chairman, and it seemed like it happened in a hurry, too. But, like, how's it going? And, like, did you ever anticipate being in this role?
I really didn't. You know, I really came here to focus on law enforcement legislation. And I sometimes I talk about criminal justice reform. I typically refer to it just, you know, enhancing, you know, certifications and training for our law enforcement officers. But then I quickly found out that the impact that mental health was having on our law enforcement, on our police officers and our sheriffs and our communities. So I began focusing on that. And certainly when Speaker, then Leader Ledbetter, decided to run for Speaker, we kind of turned that joint legislative House and Senate committee over to me, and we did a really lot of good work, had a lot of members and stakeholders participate in that process. Certainly feel like that we gained access to mental health in Alabama, the crisis centers, so did a lot of good work there. But, you know, my number one focus is budget, and part of that is to stay out of, you know, some of the issues that follow other bills. They're attracted to the legislature because that's my number one focus. That first year, you know, we had about $1.6 billion in ARPA funds, and I'm certainly appreciative of the governor doing a special session. That was my rookie year, and so we separated that, got it done, my first budget, and now have completed my third budget and got a good committee. We seem to all work really well together, so yeah, it's going well.
Yeah, there's a lot of horse trading in legislative politics in general. It's just nature
Absolutely.
Of the beast, right? How do you walk that line? Here you are. You're in this very important role as budget, general fund budget chairman, and then maybe you have some other legislation you would like to get done, and you have members, you know, would say, well, you know, I'll if you help me on this, I'll help you on that, and you have to, like, kind of find that right balance without sacrificing too much, I would think.
Well, you do. I think this year was a good example of that. I committed to the governor to carry her Back to Blue bill. on police immunity, and it was a tough bill. It was a tough bill, but you know, we hung in there for a couple hours. I think each time I was in front of House Judicial, we saw the same play out upstairs. You know, very, very lengthy. We dealt with some amendments. I think finally we wrapped our final amendments up in the Senate committee last week, and we took two additional amendments. We laid one on the table and was successful with that. But a lot of those came from two and a half hours on Thursday afternoons with the Democrats, particularly those with law enforcement experience and attorneys, to help make the bill better. So that's how you do it. You you stand there and you be respectful. Respectful of their opinions and stick with the facts of the bill and move forward. You just can't go out there and start picking fights. It's kind of like the gaming bill last year. I committed to those guys. I thought they did good work. I told them from day one, hey, I'm on board with you. And I live up near the state line. I see how much money is leaving Alabama. I said, but I'm going to stay out of it. I'm not going to work members. I'm not going to, you know, get out there in public about it. I'm going to stick to the budget. And that's typically how I handle that.
Just one, kind of looking back at last year and the way that went down, and one vote in the Senate, but it was like, you know, got it done in conference, or you didn't, but they got it done in conference committee, and then you get it through the House. Well, this it's finally happening, right?
Yeah.
It's like what I was liking in it too was like, I know, an Auburn Alabama game with the 4th and 31. Well, we're finally going to beat Alabama, and then. It wasn't meant to be, but anyway.
And the public don't forget. You see, like everywhere I go, I stop by my bank on the way down to Montgomery this week and ran into some former city employees, and it's the first thing they brought up. You know, I can't believe we can't get the lottery done. You know, so we try to focus on a lot of good legislation that's been passed this time. We still got some pending. We got to get the last two bills, law enforcement bills, out of the Senate, and that's part of the Speaker Ledbetter's and Governor's package. Yeah.
Walk us through the back to blue stuff, the immunity, and what changes, why is this important?
Well, it's important, as I've said many times at the microphone, both in committee and on the House floor, that bill needed clarification. A lot of the language that's used in the back to blue bill has been on the books for over 30 years. And there's been two key Supreme Court cases to where it really makes that original law non-valid anymore. So certainly from a training aspects, we're training our officers according to what the Supreme Court says. That's more related on the criminal side, on the fleeing felon law. But I think it just really clarifies it, not only for the public, but for the officers and the court systems. And as I've told people, you know, probably the most important part is that 45-day break and just kind of pause, either that means an officer has already been indicted or arrested. You know, you kept hearing people come to the microphone saying, we're not going to be able to arrest police officers.
Right.
Well, my bill kicks in after there's been an arrest made. But it pauses that process, gets in front of a judge, and that judge makes a decision. Was that officer reasonable and operated within the policy and guidelines and scope of his duty, or was he reckless and outside of that? So both ways, I've tried to really weigh that evenly when I stand in front of members. But it's a good bill. It's that 45-day rule actually came as a recommendation from the Democrats, and I thought that was a good idea because, you know, if you've had a bad shooting,
right,
or something in the community, you know, everybody's you know, emotions are high.
You need a cooling off period. The protest that impacts all.
Absolutely, and that same turmoil within the community can be within your agency. And certainly, I've been a police chief, and I've managed during tough times like that. And so that was a good idea. And that way, you know, within 45 days, that public's going to know what at least it was that judge going to rule it. Now, if that officer gets a negative ruling at that point, he can then take that to the Alabama Supreme Court.
Gotcha. We're joined by State Representative Rex Reynolds here on the program. This was going into this session. It was supposed to be the immigration and crime session. It was kind of the big packages of bills on both those issues. On some of the stuff that got done regarding crime, because, you know, coming out of last year, you see, you had these incidents here in Montgomery and Birmingham, and people are wanting more state involvement in local law enforcement in the big cities. They're able to do that in a way that didn't necessarily involve the legislature. But do you feel like you got a lot of that accomplished this year?
I think we did. You know, early on, Speaker Ledbetter brought in many of us that had law enforcement experience and sat us down in the off season. And I remember, you know, saying to the speaker that we don't need to try to legislate change, crime prevention in these communities. We need to bring our law enforcement, I call them CEOs, professionals, to the table and let's find out where we can support them. And if there's legislation that needs to be made, then we'll do that. And that packet was worked on. We had about 5 bills. It was expanded. The governor's office added, I think, 2 more bills. And they're all good bills about you know, the retention and recruitment of police officers and no different than my immunity bill. I mean, that's about showing our officers that we support them and back the blue. You know, we as you know, on the great work that the task force is doing here in Montgomery, well, we increased their budget a little over $3 million. Right. We even increased, I had increased Capitol Police here, the state troopers' budget by $2.5 million, and then of course it was reduced some in the Senate, which that's okay. We'll get through that. We kind of, you know how it is. We'll kind of split that up between the 26 and 27 budget, but it's all about making the community safer. And Aaliyah's got such a good model there. I think it's Aaliyah and the U.S. Marshals and Attorney General's office all working in conjunction together. But we can take that model, at least on the Aaliyah side, and plug and play, whether it be in Mobile or Huntsville or Birmingham, if we had a significant crime issue there.
Yeah, because it kind of comes and goes. So you have, for whatever reason, spikes in crime, and then it's on everyone's radar. And what I find in summertime is typically that, but that's right after y'all are gaveled out.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of, like, discussion. Well, maybe we need to do a little bit more. And then that becomes like a real fight. Like, where do you draw the line between local control and where really the state involvement? Because a lot of these municipalities really push back on this stuff.
Yeah, local's always better. I will say that. But if you've got areas where maybe the locals are overwhelmed or they have less officers to do the job, then I think that's when the state police do step in, augment what they're doing, but work together on it. And I think we're seeing that. It's great to walk downtown into a restaurant or a business, and they say, hey, you know, thank you so much for legislature supporting, you know, what Aaliyah and Montgomery Sheriff's Department and Montgomery PD is doing, because it's making a difference. They're certainly seeing it, particularly in the
they still got a long hours. They still got a long way to go here. I don't know how out and about in the community you are in Montgomery, but they got some work. It's a different town than 10, 15 years ago.
I left the restaurant here last night and had to be walking by myself, and I had to park about 3 blocks away, and you know, I got confronted, you know, by what appeared to be a homeless, and he was a little aggressive, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I felt like I could manage that situation, but you know, what if it was a lady or somebody that elderly that couldn't
right.
manage that. So certainly that has an impact on whether maybe somebody make a decision to go back downtown or not. But I will tell you, I think I have seen a significant difference in the downtown
area. It's gotten better. Yes. I mean, you don't have like random bullet gunshots like paralyzing people going down the highway, at least not in a while. You know, we talk about these things, like Mobile has its problems. Do you guys really... What's this situation like in Huntsville these days with these issues, these public safety issues?
Well, we're very blessed in Huntsville. We've got good leadership there. We've got good officers. We have good training. Work very well in conjunction with, like, Madison Police Department, the Madison County Sheriff's Department. You know, really, the Madison County Sheriff's Department has grown so much under the leadership of Kevin Turner up there, and they quite often work with the PD, and so it's when you've got strong municipality and strong county law enforcement,
that's the key, right?
You can't just move them down the street, right?
That's the key, because what I find with some of these problem places, it's just a morale issue sometimes.
It is,
and it takes like a good mayor or a good police chief or whatever, a good city council backing their local police officers, and that's why, like, every situation is so different. And when Representative Ingram was first talking about this, I was like, well, a one-size-fits-all solution devised by the, you know, by the state really work? You know, that's hard to say.
Well, in modern-day policing, too, you got to be flexible. I applaud HPD and Aaliyah and some of the other ones that the work they're doing with the drones. I mean, we've had a huge growing phase up there in Huntsville, Madison County area. So the traffic's worse, so it's slowing down our response times. And now they've switched to a great drone program. And a lot of times on in-progress calls, a drone gets there before the officer does, and the dispatch can begin to articulate what's going on that scene. So I applaud them for that as well.
That's some fascinating changes in technology really there that we would never expect to have seen. Last question. Sounds like Space Command's finally going to get done up your way. Any expectations? Will you and I sit here a year from now, will this, you think, be moving along?
Yeah, you know, talking to my colleagues in Washington, they feel very positive about it. You know, we met with a gentleman right after the governor's State of the State address up there that's bringing some degreed, some education opportunities here about those that work within the Space Command. So you can see the industry begin to shift to Huntsville and bring those opportunities here. And certainly I've had the opportunity to be out there in Von Braun 1, 2, and 3, seeing what they're already doing in the Space Force Command out there. And I think it's a great fit. And we certainly hope that we get that across the line.
It's good to hear that, the election of 2024 finally working in our, it's working our favor many ways, but that being one of them. Representative, you've been very kind to stop by. Enjoy these last day and a half here, and we'll be in touch again soon.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it always.
State Representative Rex Reynolds making time for us. We're very appreciative of his time. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back to close it out. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.